So, dear friends, before we start our Dharma sharing, I would like to invite the bell three times so that you can sit back, collect your body and your mind, and feel the bell, be with your breath and with your body and your mind. So, dear friends, today is May 7, 2011, and today is our day of mindfulness, mainly a day of awareness, mindfulness practice together. And every time we have these opportunities, I feel much very special for me, even though I have to do a lot of work, but I really enjoy it. To practice, among with you. If on the path, if we have spiritual friends, it's always an encouragement. It's always a support. Just like outside in life, you have you marry, you have someone beside you, something like that. But on the spiritual path, if we have friends that are dedicated, that are practice wholeheartedly, and give you a lot of motivations. A lot of courage on the path. So it's always a joy for me to practice with you. And today I would like to share with you the topic was in my head was about happiness, but something coming up when I meditate, some insights, generate some insights, pop out in my head. So I want to share that. That's more like life. So while we learn was chanting the morning chant, right? And the final few words is you say Namo. Namo Sakya Muni. And I want to, for me, if I want to say something, I want to change, I want to understand that. So what is makes sense or not, what is applicable or not, it's very important. It's not something is dogmatic, it's not something doctrinaire, it's not. In Buddhism, we try, the Buddha always, his practice is of his enlightenment, of insight. He don't want to make anybody doctrinate anybody. He don't want to. In Buddhism, we, the whole 2,600 years, we don't have any conversion in Buddhism. It's more like self-awareness, more like it's awaken your mind, not to put pause in you or try to control you. In Buddhism, that's why we don't have very much the institution, but just to come together and practice and help everybody out. So why you are chanting the name of the Buddha? You have to understand why you're chanting it. It's not something, it's like the language, it's not something is to doctrinate you, but something is meaning in that, something is applicable, something that we can cultivate, something that we can bring into life. So the first thing is we chant the name of the Buddha is to pay respects, not to worship him. In Buddhism, we just do respects. To pay gratitude to him as a teacher. In Buddhism, we don't say him as God, but we always consider him as the spiritual teacher that guiding us along the path. And one day we'll be like him. He said, I'm not the only one to be enlightened, and you are to be like me. So I'm not like, God is not the only one. And in Buddhism we have a book called 10,000 Buddha. A thick book like this, 10,000 Buddha, already be a Buddha. And I practice a lot with that. Do prostration is to cultivate the energies and the support, not to pay respect, not to ask him something, but to cultivate that energy in me. And so we have a book called 10,000 Buddha that's already become a Buddha, just like the Buddha. Sakyamuni is the Buddha, present Buddha. So we have a future Buddha also. It's a Maitreya Buddha. And we have one, he has a big belly. That's manifestation, one of his life manifestation in China. That's why some in the West we say that, oh, why he's so chubby. It's not healthy, right? He's so chubby. And one time I was sitting having my dinner with the Tuesday group, and one of the our friends say, why is the Buddha so chubby? He seems like he's not very healthy because he's have big belly and things like that. But there's another meaning for that. He's able to embrace everything. He can take in everything out in him and release it. That's what it means. That's why he has big belly, to hold a lot of things, but not to hold it, but then he releases it. So he have a big bag too. And then whenever he asks, what is in his bag, he just releases it. He don't say anything, he just let go. In his bag is candy for the children. And when the children come for the candy, he just drop his bag. And why people ask him, why you carry that bag? He just drop that. And he say, let go, even though I have, but I will let go. So that's the meaning of practice. So even though in our life we have a lot, but the more we hold on, the more we suffocate. Hold on and we suffocate. And so the Buddha said, drop it. That's the meaning. He dropped the bag and let go. But today I don't want to say more about that. I want to say something about the Sakyamuni Buddha, what we chanting. This is not just coming out after my meditate. So I so I arrive in Vietnamese and then I will write in Sanskrit. And in Vietnamese we call Bon. So So I will write it out and then I will explain it. And in English it's called Nam Mo, it's the same. We don't have the accents in English. And Sak. Yeah. Muni. So Nam Mo means to return or to take refuge. What it is, Nam Mo is to take refuge. Take refuge. And in Vietnamese we call Bon. So Bon means root. Root. And Sư here is teacher, the root teacher. Teacher. And Moni, that mean Moni is mean tịch mạc, that mean stillness. Tịch mạc. And Phật, that mean the enlightened one. Enlightened. Is that correct? Enlightened?
Yes.
Enlightened one. or the awakened one. So when we say Namo Sakya Muni, I mean we try to return and take refuge in the teacher who are always drowned in stillness. And in our society today, we take refuge in what we take refuge in a lot of external material, right? And it's very shaky, especially in the time of economic. It's very shaky. We take refuge in our house, right? In our beloved one, finances or partner, and we take refuge in our car, right? As a means of transportation. So we take refuge in that. We take refuge a lot of external. We take refuge in our clothes too, right? We need the clothes to put on. And this, all of this is very, the teaching of the Buddha said that it's very impermanent. It changes day by day, moment by moment. And we are very much afraid to take refuge in our own stillness. Yeah. Our own. We are afraid to go back and take refuge in that. And in stillness, if you don't practice and you feel like loneliness. Normally we feel lonely. And we have to practice in such way that we can transform that loneliness into stillness. See? You have to take that. So when you are in meditate, you are in stillness. You are not in loneliness, but you're in stillness. Right? And you're in stillness, and then you sometimes we're afraid a lot of about our own silence. Right? We're very much afraid of the silence in us. So we have to numb ourselves out. So when you say Namo Sakyamuni Buddhaya, that means you are inviting to go back and take refuge in the teacher of your own. The teacher. The teacher here, it doesn't mean that it's external out there. The teacher that is in you, internal in you, the teacher of stillness, we have that. Teach us how to be, how to sit still, how to be still, right? And you see how much that we've been occupied by the external. We always run outside. We always occupy ourselves by external. We have TV, we have games, we have all kind of external entertainment to occupy ourselves. Because we're afraid to go back and take refuge into this. Into this. So when you say Namo Sakyamuni Buddha, that means you are saying Namo, the teacher of stillness, taking refuge in the teacher of stillness, in me. You go back. And when you go back there, you discover many beautiful things. Beautiful things in that. For example, if you walk, and you walk peacefully, and your head is still, and your head is not chattering. Because normally we sit here, but our head is chattering a lot in our head. And that chattering occupies us, and always occupied by that kind of chattering internally. So we don't have a moment for our own, for ourselves. And we're always busy by that chattering, even you in your meditation. And sometimes you say, oh, sometimes your meditation period is very long, or sometimes it's run by very fast. Because you were waiting, you are in pain. So you're waiting for the bell to ring. Come on, bell. Yeah. But sometimes you say, you sit 1 hour but run by very fast. Why? Because your mind is still chattering. Either you are in stillness, either you are in deep stillness, and then 1 hour run by very fast. But other, or 1 hour run by very fast because you are busy chattering with your own mind. So that two way. But other is in that, if the hour of meditation, the time of meditation is very long because you are in pain in your body, in your mind. Your body is irritated. And your body is irritated and your mind is agitated. So, and then you couldn't sit still, right? And you sit still and you've been disturbed. So it's really hard to, really take a moment of stillness in you. It's really hard. And then when you have that, life is different. You see things differently. Even there is a chaotic outside in the world, you can accept it, and you can work with it. But when you don't have that, when you have the loneliness, you have the disturbance, then things out there, you couldn't able to take that. You don't have capability. You become irritated. You become disturbed. And then the more we be irritated, the more you be disturbed, and slowly you become crazy. Crazy about the world and crazy about yourself. So when you meditate, you come back to this here, stillness, to the teacher of the stillness in yourself. And you discover that it's there all the time, is waiting for you. This stillness is always waiting for us. Just like a mother waiting for her child to come home during the late at night when she went out for the party. He went out for the party. Just like that. So when you practice chanting of the name of the Buddha, you not chanting the name, the language of the word itself, but you change, you cultivate this kind of energy in you. Cultivate that energy in you. You bring your mind into stillness. So when you understand that, you chant, it makes sense to you. The more you chant, the more you cultivate stillness in yourself. We call Nang Yen Tat Ma. That means the person, the Buddha is the person, always 24 hours, drive in this energy of stillness. Whether he awake, whether he asleep, he's still a Buddha. He's not a part-time Buddha like us. We all part-time Buddha. You know, one moment we awake and the next moment we rip ourselves. So we are part-time. It's okay. One day we'll be full-time. One day we'll all be a full-time Buddha. So that's what we call Nang Yen Tat Mak. That means the person who constantly, 24 hours, dwell in these energies of stillness. That's why we call him the Buddha. The Buddha is not something, God or something that grant you the power, grant you the miracle. No. He just wants to invite you to be with him and take refuge in your own energies of stillness. And when you are in that space, you discover many beautiful jewels in yourself. Many beautiful jewels. You're not very true, you know, just, you know, when the day of the, you know, when some guy come and beg you and knee down and say, can you marry me? And he give you a ring, guy. That's a lot of jewelry, right? Jewelry. And can you marry me? And then he give you something. That's a very that's external. Something, if he are smart, he try to discover the precious gem in you. If he's smart or she's smart. They offer you this, but that's one. One day you and me will come today and we together can discover something more beautiful in each of us. That's you make the promise. But not many people can do that. Our society, because we are so much running by the external. We're not able to have a moment of this. If you don't have this moment of this, how can you be in that energy? How can you be discover that? Right? The only thing is to discover that you have to be in that space. You have to take refuge in that. But our society construct in a way that we all busy. We all busy ourselves. Make ourselves very much busy. So when the time, we have the time for me to be still, but we couldn't because we're afraid of that. We don't know. We try to grab something out there, hold on out there. And if something is shaky, something lost, and we become what? Despair, total despair. And we come to the final conclusion is to end our life. And that's happened to many young friends and old friends. They don't know that they have something very precious in them. Very precious in them. When you know that, life, you take life easy. Life becomes much easier. Doesn't matter what situation you're in. You no longer complain about life. You no longer complain. Even you can work 24 hours a day, you can't. You enjoy the work that you do because you know that something in you is very precious. The external is the skillful mean, is a means for you. Money is a mean for us to live, right? We don't obsess by that when you lost. But many, nowadays many of us among you lost job. And once you feel that job is your security, your own security, but once the job is taken out of you, you feel very empty. You feel very hopeless. You feel very restless. Because that only means for your life. You can generate some money, you can buy cars, you can buy house, maybe you can have some beautiful man or woman when you have money. But somehow it's very shaky. They can be out of your hand at any moment. Right? And many of you here, first here we have Mary, and suddenly the Mary is broke and out of our hands. And we feel very restless. We feel very shaky. Because you don't know, nothing in you is that you can hold on. Nothing in you that you can take refuge on. So the Buddha is a special teacher. He showed us to go back and discover that in us. And once you discover that in that, you live beautifully with the one that, what you have. It doesn't matter. Life becomes a different. And now you become a person who share everything you have. Because you understand your own nature. And now it's you try not to possess anything. You have it, you value it. It's okay. And take care with it. It's okay. You have a house, then we have the responsibility to take care of house. But we have also share the house with somebody. So we have our own responsibility with us. And own responsibility with friends, family, community out there. So there is, in the sutra, the Buddha said that there's four kinds of people. The first kind is the person that don't know how to take care of him or herself. It's the person who are and don't know how to take care of others also. So that kind of person is the person who are very addicts to many things. Addicts to drugs, addicts to alcohol, addicts to smoking. But they don't know how to take care of themselves. They don't think about themselves. So they create their own pain, their own suffering. And then they spread that to someone that they love. Have you ever known someone in your life that are alcoholics, that are drug addicts, that are many addicts in life, and they create all their own pain and they spread it in you? In our family, we have that. We have that. And sometimes we do that for ourselves. We are our own victim of that. And we don't know how to take care of ourselves, because we don't know how to return. We're afraid to return to our own self. the house that is empty. Even sometimes you have big house, you're afraid to return to the house. You feel so empty. Right? So the first kind of person that the Buddha talking about, he said that the person that don't know how to think, don't know how to take care of themselves. And then they don't know how to take, and once you don't know how to take care of yourself, how can you know to take care of others? Right? First, you want to take care of yourself. You want to think about others' benefit. Then you have to know. Because you have the means. You know how you feel pain, how much pain it is in your body. And then you understand the pain of others. If you're sick, then someone say that, oh, I'm also sick. Then you say, understand right away. Because you go through, you went through that experience. So I have a chest pain. I know somebody said, I have a heart attack, I have chest pain. I know right away how they feel. Because I personally experienced that. Lately I have chest pain and I know that. So when we know how to care ourselves, then you know how to care others. How much pain that is. Then once you know how much pain is for ourselves, then we know how much other people feel pain. Then we don't cause the pain for others. But sometimes we live in ignorance. We don't know that. We become a victim of our own pain. Own pain. So unless you return to take refuge in this stillness. Because when you are in stillness, your mind is clear. You have clarity. You have the energy of clarity in you. Then you know. But if your mind was milky, then it's hard to know, right? If your mind is milky. And most of the time, our mind is clouded by many thoughts, disturbing thoughts. So once that thought is disturbing, then your mind becomes very milky. It's not you thinking, but it's not very clear. Because your mind is not in stillness. So if I was to just move this pen like this, you couldn't able to concentrate, but I was to leave the pen still, then you're able to see it clearly. The same thing as our mind. So when you have a lot of way, a lot of walk back and forth, the same thing that's meaning, disturbing thoughts that come into your mind, your body, then you're not able to see it. In order to see deeply, you have to stand still and look. Yeah, that. So in order to understand ourselves, you have to come into, bring your mind and body together. Because mind, body, or most of us, we have a mind, but mind one direction, body in another direction. So our mind and body is not together. So once our mind and body together, we understand our body. Then we're able to take care of our body. So that's the first. Other than that, you cannot. Right? Because why you meditate? You want to bring your mind and body together. That's the purpose of meditation. Body and mind are together in oneness. That is the purpose, the ultimate meditation. And then once the body and the mind together, you become, you see everything. You see. Because our body is made up of everything around us. Right? The trees is in us. You know that you are the, and the trees is have very much related. Yeah. The flesh of the tree is the same thing. It has the bone of yourself and the flesh. And there's the sap of the tree. It's like your blood. But in different form. You don't see it. But when you penetrate the reality, the nature, then you see that. Then you no longer separate. But unless in your, you have to see that in your meditation, in your stillness. Yeah. So that's why the stillness is our teacher. It's our teacher. Bring the mind and body together. The root teacher. Root teacher. Bộ. Bộ sư. Bộ là mình root. Sư. Teacher. So the first kind of the person that the one who does not know how to take care a thing of himself or herself, and does not know how to think and take care of others. That's the first kind of person. And the second kind is the one who only cares and thinks for himself. Only thinks and cares for himself, not think or care others. That's the second kind of person the Buddha was talking about in the sutra. There are, you know, people like that. Only know about yourself. Take care of yourself. That's good, but not good enough. You have to open your heart more. It's good, but not good enough. And the third kind of person is the person that's like one who only care and think for others, but not for himself or herself. That's the third kind. And the fourth kind is one who cares and thinks of himself, but also thinks and cares for others. So there's four kinds. So you pick yourself, which one you are. But the Buddha tried to invite us to practice the number four. He said that first you have to know yourself, take care of yourself. And then slowly open your heart and share that with others. Then I mean you open your heart to share. And your heart open. When your heart's open, you let someone to enter your space. But with care. With care. So the first one is self-responsibility. We have to take on the responsibility about ourselves, about our life. Self-response, self-realization. That is the first, the primary definition of the Buddha. Self-realization. Self-realization. One of the definitions. What is the Buddha? And first is self-realization. And the second definition of the Buddha is realizations and the benefits of others. And the third definition of the Buddha is the completeness of that too, in order to become the perfect realizations. So first is self-realization, second is others' realizations. So you, after you know the path, you should try to help others to realize the path also. You share the path. And when you share, your heart is open. Your heart is open. You don't try to close your heart. Open your heart. So once that, the energies, when you do that, the energies permeate. In each of this, the energy of generosity, the energies of caring, permeate your heart. The word permeates very beautifully. Permeate slowly, is penetrate, permeate your body and your mind. So the example of permeating is like when you walk into the a day of very foggy, right? And at the beginning, you don't feel like you get wet, but as you walk further lows, you walk a long time, and the frogs, the mist, is permeate your shirt, your skin. So it's like that. Permeate slowly. So slowly the energies of stillness permeate in your consciousness, your body and your mind. And when that permeates, it do the transformations. It takes the process of transformation of whatever's internal knot in you. We have a lot of internal knot, right? In our life, internal knots. Internal mental formations that got stagnant in our body, in our mind, and that making our body sick and our mindsets. And slowly, day by day, it accumulates and it's become cancer. That's why we have cancer, many forms of cancer, right? Body, skin cancer, lung cancer, all kind of cancer because of that kind of stickiness is in our body, in our mind. Because it's too many negative energy that been stuck in our body. So when you have that, you open your heart, you generate a lot of positive seeds in your body, in your mind. And that positive, the more you have positive seeds, positive thoughts in you, you have a lot of happy. But if you have a lot of negative, unwholesome energy in you, we become very crouchy. The day is sunny, but in our body and our mind is very crouchy. We're not able to enjoy that. And we see that around us, you know, the sun is so beautiful, shining there, but how can we can enjoy it? It's there for us as a grant, right? It costs nothing. You go out there, you see the breeze of the wind, you see the trees, beautiful green trees, beautiful sun. But how come so many people couldn't enjoy it? Become depressions. Now it's our society, a lot of depressions in us. Because we don't know how to unknot this in us. So when you practice, you come into, you open all this knot in us. And all like pessimistic situation turn into optimistic situation. You turn yourself up, turn all the positive seeds in you. Even though it's very, the day can be very gloomy, but if our hearts is open, then we can enjoy that out there. Snow is beautiful, rain is beautiful. In the winter here, I sometimes a lot of snow. I be by myself, I look at the snow, I enjoy the snow. It's beautiful in a different way. Instead of sit there, you know, why nobody come, complaining, you know. And I say, take this opportunity, look deeply into myself, you know, and see what is inside. And have more time to practice. So, for example, if one day you have everybody go and you stay home alone, you know, and you know, like, especially you have family, you have children, and someday you know, your children all take vacation and your partner take, you are home alone. And you're home alone, sometimes you feel very empty. If you don't have practice. You know, suddenly a lot of people, and then now the house is empty. And you feel very lonely there. You feel loneliness. Because you're always occupied by this external. And you don't know how to practice. Turn that loneliness into stillness right away. And you become something value for you. And this is the moment that I should be with myself. Because most of the time when you're busy with your family, cooking for the children, for your partner, things like that. But now is the moment for you to really return. But sometimes we couldn't stand that energy. So you either go out, blockbuster, and run a movie. You know, and we always do that to ourselves. So we don't let ourselves time for ourselves. And then we become very sick of those things. And one day you sit, you are sick and you're on the bed, and you don't know what to do. You see? This is it's overcome for us. It doesn't matter. As we're aging. And one day you have to be on bed alone. And you have to face this energy. It's the loneliness in you. And you better, and then you either blaming your children, why not? Your children is very busy with their work and their life. You say, well, I take care of you for my whole life. Now I'm six, you're not there for me. And we all, and our many things come. And we either blame, we either condemn, we either, you know, we say many negative things. Because we couldn't stand with that energy in us. So we have to better confront that better. This, sooner the better in us, you know. Because one day we are in bed by ourselves. We all went through always sickness. That is the process of life. But now if you are busy and occupied with yourself, this new long time, have time for yourself, and one day how can you be faced that? So go back, after spend some time with yourself during you are still healthy. It's very important. If you don't able to face it now, how can you be faced when your body is wearing out? It's very difficult. When I sit by myself and I contemplate, that's what I reflect on. I say, if right now I cannot face my loneliness, how can I be facing when I'm aged? When my body, every part of my body is pain. I already feel that by now. Sometimes the weather changes, you feel some pain in your body already. But we all have to, there's no acceptance. No acceptance. So right now, if you are still in a state of health, look into it. Take some time. Turn that, make that an insight and strengthen that energy for yourself. That's why we come together, is to encourage each other to do that. Encourage you. We not cultivate that strengthness in you. And you own that. That's yours. But it costs no money. So we work our butt off to get all this money for what? Can you carry with you when you die? No. Napoleon say that already. Napoleon, one of the Napoleon, the king, right? French king. Mm-hmm. And he died and he say, and that I read, he said four things that said, after I'm ill and I'm die, get my money and spread on the street and in the coffin, drill the hole and let my hand out. You read, I don't know whether he, and say, get a coffin and, drill a hole and hold my hand like this. And people ask, why are you doing that? I say, see, this is all I have, the whole world I almost have, but when I die, this is what I have. Bad. Napoleon. I don't know whether you read that, I read that part, I was shocked. So, and we spend our whole life to accumulate all this material. And when you say that, I would say that for myself, for my children. And when the children would use that to, to destroy their life, many children use their money, their parents' money, they don't work for it. So they just spend it without knowing that the sweat of the parents, and they use it to damage their life, to ruin their life. Using it for drugs, for alcohol, for smoking. That is not a hurt, that's not a good thing for to leave your children something that they can value for whole life. Something that you help them to discover their own internal presence, stillness, their own insight that with them forever. Once they have the insights, their life is beautiful. That's what we should transmit to them. That's what we should transmit to our children. To transmit them the view of life, how to live. See the Buddha, the Buddha don't have nothing. He abandoned all those things. He have everything. He's a princess to be, king to be. He leave everything behind and walk barefoot with nothing. Even the slipper on his feet, he just walk barefoot from here to there. And now what he transmits to us is an insight about life. An insight how to live life, how to enjoy life. And that's forever. He transmits for 20,000, 2,500, 600 years already. This insight, how to live a deep life and enjoy life, is still there with us. If he was to have a lot, accumulate a lot of materials and say that this is all my disciple, you should have it, and then I don't think we can have it today. It's all gone. Right? It's all conquered by other countries, taken by other people. But what he transmits to is how to discover our own stillness internally so that you can live our life fully. And it's forever. It's not something that nobody can take it from you. And once you discover that, Nobody can take. The earthquake cannot take it from you. The tsunami cannot take it from you. The President Obama cannot take it from you. You own it. And you can work with many life with that. And go back and discover that. That's how why we meditate. That's why we recite His name. His name is not something that for us to take, but to, for us, but it's for the energy for us to cultivate. That energy is in us, but we forget. Now, when we recite His name, we try to go back and live with that energy. When we live with that, life becomes much beautiful. Wherever you walk in this world, you are a free person. And nobody can steal from you, from us. We always, you have a big house, we have a lot of money in the bank or saving, you always afraid. We fear that our country is very shaky. And one day, somebody can take it from us. The bank can be bankruptcy. Even though you have a lot of money in the bank for security, the bank can be bankruptcy at any time. Because the country can be at war anytime. At any time. And if we don't have that in us, we always live in fear, in constant fear. Whether you have a big house, it can take away from us at any time. This big house, you know, who knows? Maybe next few minutes we have fire and the house be gone. And we sit there and cry. You see? But if we have in us, then we say, it's okay. We live fully, we share it. But now it's time for us to go. We take the best care of it, now let's go, it's okay. That's why the Buddha said that the most precious that you hold, the most person that you hope you hold dearly, one day will depart from you. That can be your partner, that can be your parents. One day you feel very dearly to you, one day will be depart. That is the teaching of the Buddha. He told us that. Something that you feel very dearly to you can be your goal, can be the rings that be married, can be a precious gem you can hold dearly. One day somebody can steal from you. Right? You have to know that. So I tell you a story before we end. There is a teacher. And this teacher is very skillful in student, very skillful. So he have a disciple who also still, but so one day the teacher and the disciple go to steal. And the teacher say that, okay, tonight, you go to that house, okay? And there's that house, there's a big coffin of a precious gem in that. So the teacher tried to open the closet and have lock. And the teacher tried to push the student in there. And lock the cabinet, and then after he locked and he go out and run and say, stealer, and everybody in the house running out. And then the student in there don't know what to do because he's been locked in that precious, what's the precious box. And he tried to escape, and finally he able to escape without cutting. And he go on and say, teacher, how can you do that to me? I say, otherwise, if I don't do that, and how can you know one day you got locked, and then you know how do you know how to escape? So now it's a testing for you. Skillful teacher. The story doesn't mean that we have to know how to, skillful means how to get out of the trap that we are having. We are locked in this chain box here. You see, your house is a chain box. You have a safety box in a chain box. And one day,
you lost it, and you feel depressed, you feel dead end about life. How would you get out of that? That's the story. It's the meaning behind the story. How do you get out of all these imprisons of the material that will be locking you? So when I read that story, I was shocked. But when I read the explanation, this makes sense. That we all imprisoned in this desire house. Desire. So how do we get ourselves out of that? Through the practice. Through the movement of stillness. So that you're able to see the way out. When your mind is in clarity. When your mind is not disturbed by all the external, invaded by all these external things. That's why what I'm doing is here, try to do that, to provide the environment so that people can come and practice for themselves. And when you do that, you heal yourself. You need the environment, we need the environment that we can come together as a collective community. We have to have an environment because we are very fragile in our own way. So we need some support about the environment and some good friends, some good teacher to support us. Just like a child, we are just a very fragile child that needs the hand of an adult, that needs the hand of the parents. Even our physically we are mature, but look at our mentality. Are we mature in that? That's the question. We can have a big body, but are we big, mature in our own way of taking care of ourselves? So we need some help. The more you practice, the more you have a skill for me to do that. Insights will be generated. Insight will be born. Each moment you hold something with mindfulness, and slowly. When you eat something, take it slow. Take a moment, look at it. And appreciate. With gratitude. That is the element of healing. I try that in myself. Every time I eat something, I say appreciation or gratitude silently. And day by day you do that, you become a happy person. Just even the water I drink, I say thanks. The water from the earth. This Mother Earth giving us that. And the person who brings that to me. And I do that is I heal myself. I feel much, when you feel much happy, you heal yourself. But you have to take that slow. Otherwise, we just do it very fast and we don't have any awareness in that. Just take that. If you can do that in every day of your life, and you become a healer to yourself. So tonight, walk out. Just gently say thanks to your feet. Thanks to your feet that they help you to make a peaceful step, to carry you from one place to another. That is healing in you. When you day by day, you strengthen that energy in you. And things become has meaning in you. But you have to do it with your whole body and your mind there. Unless you have some clarity in it. So clarity energy is very, very important. We have to generate that in your everyday life. Slow down some of the activity that we do. In the morning, if you get up, this is act, I do it myself. I get up and I meditate and I walk. And at that stillness moment, I see everything clear. And everything has become a healing. The wind, especially nowadays, now the spring come out, we don't have, it's not very cold. In the morning, it's very fresh. And you take a walk with your mind in peace, stillness, and with your feet. And you appreciate that. And if you live, if you do that way, your life, you live your life deeply. Otherwise, our lives become a saddle. Many of us, life as a saddle. We live very superficial life. The more material you have, the more grasping material, the more superficial life you are. And this is through my practice. I see that, I experience that. Because our mind is always obsessed by this externally. And we don't have time to look deeply, to live life deeply. And once you only meaning about life is to live life deeply, look deeply into nature. Otherwise, we are very, our lives very surface. And we become very used everything we do. But once you look deeply in the nature of life, everything you do become a healing energy. Healing energy. But unless you be with yourself, with your body, with your mind, there. And we no longer run out there and blame one thing for the next things, you know. And that is, if we live our life like that, sooner or later we will become ill in body and ill in mind. Meditation helps us to live a deeper life. And then beside that, you have to slow down fast. Slow down so that you can see. But if we keep running, and one day we will die with regret. We are just like a deer that run after the saddle of light. And the deer will die of thirsty. I have told the story that there is a deer that run at very thirsty. And on the sunny day, and there's a radiant light, which just looks like water. And the deer is running after that light to catch, he thought that is the water. So he just run. And one day he collapsed, and when he ran out of energy, he collapsed, and he died. With thirsty, just our lives like that. We die of thirsty. Just like that deer. If we don't stop. And many of us did. And many of us, especially our young people. Yeah. Young. They don't have that life. They don't have a good environment for them to cultivate and look deeply. But we are here, we are adults. In physically, but I don't know what about the mind. That each of you know about how are you, how much maturity in your mind. The more mature, the more ripening of your mind, the more deeper you draw in life. And you slow down. And this is how age people, when you become age, you slow down. You see, because you see that your life is now shortened. Then you have slowed down. What have you done? And I experienced through many senior friends. And they do things slow. One first thing is their body is slow already, but they still slow down to look what have they done about their life. So when you look deeply in your life, you will learn many insight will be born, and that insight will help us to live our life.
So today I just share with you, I just try to make it briefly about the meaning. What is the meaning of the, when we recite the name of the Buddha? Is we try to cultivate the stillness, energy in us. And I also share the four kinds of people that live their life. First one is, what is the first one? Do you remember? The first person, number one?
Can't take care of themselves or anybody else.
That means they cannot take care of themselves and cannot take care of others. That's the first kind of person. And what is the second?
Self-realization. Self, only interested in self.
Only interested in their own individual self. And not care for others. And the second, or the third kind,
care
for others, but don't care for themselves. And that has happened to our mom. Yes, believe me, your mom, you take care of the partner, your children, but you, sometimes you forget to take care of yourself. I know my mom. My mom passed away when I was 3, but I know I have a stepmom. And this is what I learned through life when my mom passed away when I was 3. I learned many lessons in life. To be alone in life, I learned. And how am I today? It's been through life is training me. And because the teaching of the Buddha opened the pathway for me. And this is how I want to share with that, you and with other young people. And the fourth kind of people, take care of themselves and others. That is the best kind the people recommend us to take care of ourselves, but at the same time take care of others. Share your time, your energies, your effort. You make the effort to enhance the quality of life. At the same time, enhance the quality of life of others. And then you become into completeness of the two. So if you're able to do that, you are the happiest person in life. Okay? So that is the 5 things I share with you. The first thing is the meaning, how to apply the when you say Namo Sakyamuni Buddhaya, and then the other 4 kind of people, the Buddha, Jesus, to live our life, to be the person you want to be. So, I would like to conclude the sermon here so that we can have our lunch together. I think today is a beautiful day, so we can eat outside instead of eating in here. And we need some hands to bring chair out in front and make a circle. And then when the food in the kitchen is ready, I invite to Isabel. So we will be self-service for our lunch and bring our lunch out there and wait for everybody to have their lunch and we can eat lunch together. And we will recite the 5 contemplations together to pre-save the working of the peoples, the earth, and the friends around. And we will eat silence in meal together, about 20 minutes together. And after that, we have a total relaxation. Ilan, can you do a total relaxation today? So Ilan will guide a total relaxation for us today. So I can rest. And I can come back with meditations. So please sit down. So I would like to invite Thuy Sathaprabhu to conclude the talk here. So you can relax the body and your mind.